Want to pull off the season's freshest trend? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
I'm John Batchelor. This is the new John Batchelor Show, CBS Audio Network, The New World Report, with Senator Maria Fernanda Cabal of the Colombia Legislature. She is in Bogota. And Joseph Umar, the Executive Director of Secure Free Society. He is in Washington. We begin with the news on the Mexican-American border, the information from the Biden administration that Vice President Harris is now tasked to negotiate to, in some fashion, engage the leaders of Central America who are involved in this great migration, pushing thousands, tens of thousands of people, unaccompanied children, towards the Mexican-American border with no end in sight, springtime. I mentioned that the three countries most in the news for the vice president are what are called the Northern Triangle, Honduras, Guatemala, and El Salvador. However, all of this area is engaged. So I begin with Joseph to ask this crisis, Joseph, because you're in Washington. I use the word crisis only because it's in the newspapers. I don't want to condemn everybody to a crisis all the time. But it appears to be the big story in Washington right now from outside looking in. Is that accurate? And is the Biden administration assembling its forces accordingly? Is that why Vice President Harris is freshly tasked? Good evening to you, Joseph.
Good evening, John. No, I believe it is a crisis. I think it's a pressure cooker, honestly. I think the immigration issue, larger immigration issue, is the context, but the border is the immediate problem that needs to be solved. I think President Biden missed a big opportunity with the press conference he had last week. He had a good opportunity to lay out a strategy, to provide some solutions, to give some indication to be able to calm people's anxiety, especially those that are facing the crisis at the border. But it seemed like he was more intent to deflect blame, to blame the previous administration, or to basically gain some political points out of the press conference. I also thought it was a missed opportunity at the press conference for the press. I think the press could have asked some very important questions that didn't seem to be presented at the press conference. One that I'm looking at is not just about the Central American issue, although that's the core of it, because most of the undocumented migrants and mostly unaccompanied minors are coming from those Central American countries. But we're facing immigration problems all over Latin America. And the bigger problem here is what happens when all this converges? I mean, you're having a border crisis right now between Haiti and Dominican Republic, another border crisis between Venezuela and Colombia, a smaller yet not insignificant border problem between Peru and Brazil. When all this starts to converge, and we talked about this before on the show, John, these networks, these human smuggling networks, when they start to move all this, at some point, if we don't solve the problem of the border, we're going to be facing a much bigger crisis that's going to make the current situation look like kids' play. So I think that he has to deal with this. I think, you know, sending Kamala Harris, Vice President Harris, to the border, I think he also appointed a special envoy, which is the former U.S. ambassador to Mexico, Roberta Jacobson. So I think it's important to have that presence, but I think we have to hear about solutions as well. I think he's going to need to present some of those rather quickly.
Senator, you were very helpful early on to identify the displaced, the refugees from Venezuela who traveled across your border into Colombia looking for work or sustenance and then were returning to Venezuela at some point in this last year. This is during the worst of the early stages of the virus crisis. I learn now from talking to a correspondent in Panama City that many of the refugees coming from Latin America, moving into Central America and on their way to Mexico, are from Venezuela. They're from Venezuela. They've been living in Colombia roughly, and they're now crossing the jungle into Panama and then being bused by Panamanian authorities to Costa Rica, on to Honduras, on to Mexico, on north. So these Venezuelan refugees who live in your country are leaving. What is it that they believe is going to happen to them when they get to Mexico? Do they believe they'll be welcomed into the United States? There's reason for them to think that, because the Congress has passed a special understanding that from Venezuela, these are legitimate people fleeing the Maduro regime. Do you hear in Bogota that the Venezuelans are making their way in great number to the north, or is this just a handful of people risking that jungle? Good evening to you, Maria.
Good evening. Remember that President Duque also signed a decree helping the Venezuelan status to get them legally here and to facilitate them to find a job and stabilize their life. This issue matters and help a lot of migrants. There are more than a million which are illegal. However, for everyone which migrates and has nothing else than their labor hand to survive, a U.S. American dream is always in their mind. They know that the TPS and all what President Biden has signed are helping their friends, their people. Maybe many of them have relatives. And many of them, really, it's true, want to take the risk of crossing the path of Central America, even though all the challenges that it means. Many of them think that they could get on it. So even though here in Colombia the government has helped them to stabilize and to regularize their status, many of them will take the chance despite of the risk.
Maria, you bring to my attention, and Joseph knows something about it, that the Venezuelans along the border and the FARC along the border with Venezuela are now engaged in active combat. Can you to describe that to us, because, you know, my sources on Latin America are The Economist and the Financial Times. So I tell you that these reports have not reached London yet. What is happening on the Venezuela-Colombia border about FARC and the Venezuelan military?
There is a battle currently happening since it started a week ago. People from Venezuela, many peasants and Indians, are arriving to the frontier to a small city called Arauquita. Currently, I think there are more than 5,000 people in refugee camps trying to escape at the battlefield. And there's also bombing from the planes from the Venezuelan army. What is happening is that after the peace accord signed by Juan Manuel Santos, former Colombian president, and FARC, there is a division inside the guerrilla. One guerrilla gets legalized, and the other one get in the business, in the cocaine business.
Maria, you say they've divided into two factions. Two factions. What are they?
Two factions. One belongs to Iván Márquez, she's the head, FARC, the illegal FARC. It belongs to Gentil Duarte. His name is Gentil Duarte, which is also, both of them belong to the political hierarchy, but to the battle hierarchy. They are fighters. Marcus was head of Gentil Duarte when they were in the FARC. They are fighting because of the cocaine route. Venezuelan army are by the side of Iván Márquez. So Venezuelan army are fighting against Gentil Duarte because they couldn't agree on how they handle all the cocaine business. They're fighting, they have been killing. In fact, many, a colonel and a lieutenant of the a Venezuelan army were killed by landmines. So this is really crazy what is happening currently there.
Joseph, just to tuck this up before we head to Honduras, which is north of where the fighting is, this sounds like it's very fresh, a combat between narco-terror gangs, some of which are FARC, some of which are Venezuela military. That suggests that Maduro is not so much in charge of his country. It's breaking down into warlords.
To somewhat, John, but let me give it a little bit of a bigger geopolitical context, because I actually do think Maduro is in charge a lot of what's going on. And you have to remember that the Maduro regime's weapons aren't solely kinetic. They also use a lot of propaganda, and they use a lot of manipulation and disinformation. And I believe the bigger geopolitical context of what's happening at the border between Colombia and Venezuela is the Maduro regime is trying to take what was a border crisis because of the mass migration and turn it into a border conflict to suck in the Colombian military and to further aggravate a conflict along the border. According to our sources and our research, we also have reports that there's Russians embedded into the Venezuelan armed forces along the border, and that the Iranians are also supporting these conflicts along the border. So there's a bigger context, a much more geopolitical context to what's going on between Venezuela and Colombia. And this it should be an alarm bell for all of Latin America, because what's happening between Colombia and Venezuela can happen anywhere in Latin America.
When the Russians show up, there's money to be made. Joseph Umar, Executive Director of Secure Free Society, Senator Maria Fernanda Cabal in Bogota, member of the Colombia legislature. We're headed north in Central America, and when we come back, Honduras. I'm John Batchelor. This is the new John Batchelor Show, CBS Audio Network.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART, or go to LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
This message is sponsored by Greenlight. With school out, summer is the perfect time to teach our kids real-world money skills they'll use forever. Greenlight is a debit card and the number one family finance and safety app used by millions of families, helping kids learn how to save, invest, and spend wisely. Parents can send their kids money and track their spending and saving, while kids build money confidence and skills in fun ways. Start your risk-free Greenlight trial today at Greenlight.com/iHeart. That's Greenlight.com/iHeart.